आई थिंक प्रभु जी हैड ज्वाइंड ऐसा।
मदर जी रिकॉर्डिंग इज ऑन मदर।
ओके
Welcoming all of you to the Bhakti Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Leela Purushottam Prabhuji. Prabhuji is going to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, 28th chapter, 24th verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you present on the call? Dalgurishtu Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Hare, all glories to Gurudev and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. I'm very fortunate again to get your association. And we are going to read today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Gopi Jana Ballava. Giribara Dhari Sadanandana Rajana Ranjana Namona Tera Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada.
Jaya Vishnu Pada, Paramahamsa, Parivrajaka, Charya, Stotra, Stasa, Srimad, Divine Grace. Abhaya Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Why it is so hot today here? I'm prospering like anything. Okay, so. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bol. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Urim Biha, sorry. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28. Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. Text 24. Urim Vihayo Pagata.
Urim Vihayo Pagata.
Uparudho Bhujangama
Uparudho Bhujanganama
Yadatamevanu Puri
Yadatamevanu Puri
Vishirna Prakrutim Gata
Vishirna Prakrutim Gata
Purim
Purim
The city
Vihaya Vihaya
Having given up
Upagataha
gone out Uparuddhaha
arrested
Bhujangamaha the serpent
yada
when
tam
him
eva
certainly
anu
After
Puri
the city
Visirna
scattered Prakrutim matter Gata turned into translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The serpent who had already been arrested by the soldiers of Yavana Raja and was out of the city began to follow his master along with the others. As soon as they all left the city, it was immediately dismantled and smashed to dust. Purport. When a living entity is arrested, all his followers, namely the life air, senses and sense objects immediately leave the lump of matter, the body. When the living entity and his companions leave, the body no longer works but turns into basic material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. When a city attacked by enemies is vacated by its inhabitants, the enemy immediately takes advantage of the city and bombards it to smash the whole thing to dust. When we said, dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return, we refer to the body. When a city is attacked and bombarded by enemies, the citizens generally leave, and the city ceases to exist. It is a foolish person who engages in improving the condition of the city without caring for the citizens or inhabitants. Similarly, a living entity who is not properly enlightened in spiritual knowledge simply takes care of the external body, not knowing that spirit soul is the principal factor within the body. When one is advanced in spiritual knowledge, the spirit soul is saved from eternal transmigration. The Bhagavatam considers those who are attached to their bodies to be like cows and asses. Saeva go karaha. The cow is a very innocent animal and the ass is a beast of burden. One who labors under the bodily conception simply works like an ass and does not know his self-interest. It is therefore said, Shatma buddhe kunape tridhatuke sodhi kalatra disuvauma ijyadhi yatirtha buddhi salile nakarichit jane suavigye susaeva gokhara. In fact, Prabhupada quoted this verse many times in his lectures, purport, so many places. A human being who identifies this body made of three elements is mode of passion, mode of goodness, and mode of ignorance. With his self, who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsman, who considers the land of birth worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is to be considered like an ass or a cow. Bhagavatam 10.84.13. Human civilization devoid of Krishna consciousness is simply a civilization of lower animals. Sometimes as a civilization may study the dead body and consider the brain or the heart. However, no part of the body is important unless the soul is present. In a modern civilization of cows and asses, scientists try to search out some value in the brain or heart of a dead man. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Jnana Pimirandasya Jnana Antana Salakaya Chakshuran Mlitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinami. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pashyat Desatarane. So dear devotees, we are reading the conversation between Narada and Prachana Varishat. So Puranjana is a story of us, one of us, each one of us. And at some point of time, Puranjana gives up the body. There are so many ways we can give up our body. If there is an accident, body becomes useless. Then subtle body lives and wanders until it is given another body. If the time of death has come, then the Yamadutas would bind the subtle body and carry the soul through the subtle body to another gross body. In any case, gross body becomes kaput, is destroyed. As soon as the subtle body leaves, it's amazing, isn't it? That body is there, but my subtle body is taken away. It is not that Atma leaves. Atma refers to three things: material bodies, subtle body, as well as the individual soul, Atma. So when Atma leaves the body, and Atma leaves Atma. So two Atma, that is, one is the pure consciousness, the other is the subtle body in the form of mind, intelligence, false ego. And so that means the subtle body is hooked onto this dress and it can depart without, you know, getting deformed or in any way one has to do some surgery to take the subtle body from the gross body. No. But these Yamadutas, it seems that they're very expert in binding this body using a subtle rope. So, and they carry this body to the Yamapuri or the assembly of Yamaraj. So when the subtle body leaves along with that soul, then what is left here is a dead body consisting of five elements. And they are automatically destroyed. And this purport, Srila Prabhupada is telling that soul is the prime factor for which this body has been created. 8.4 million different bodies. They represent different kinds of consciousness. From very gross level of ignorance to subtle level of ignorance. And again, gross level of knowledge to subtle level of knowledge. And they are manifested in three elements, that is mode of ignorance, mode of passion, and mode of goodness. So, this particular verse that Prabhupada quotes, he has quoted many times, and it's very important to meditate on this particular verse, which says that this body which consists of three gunas, three elements, and if we consider this to be self, or we consider our birthplace to be worshipable, or we consider, or we go to the pilgrimage place just to take bath in Ganga, Yamuna, or likes of the rivers. And if we consider the byproduct of this body to be our relatives, near and dear ones, then we lived like a cow, who is an innocent animal, so ignorance is no bliss, Prabhupada used to tell. Ignorance is no bliss. So even if you are innocent, but you have no knowledge, like children are innocent, but they are in ignorance. And kara, that is asas, just to sustain this body and all that connected to body. If we are simply working very hard, then we are no better than animals. So this is what Krishna, in Bhagavatam, it is said in 10th chapter, 84th, 10th canto, 84th chapter, 13th verse. So this is very, very important for us to always meditate. If in the human form of body, I do not ask questions, and questions only will be generated in mode of goodness, there will be no question in mode of passion or mode of ignorance. Only when we are in mode of, predominantly situated in mode of goodness, we will be able to ask questions, because in mode of goodness, we can see the threat that is coming from ignorance. And in mode of goodness, we start seeing the temporariness of the material world. So then we can ask pertinent questions. And also in mode of goodness, we can see some avasa of pure consciousness, shade of pure consciousness. That means in mode of goodness, we can have two experiences. One experience is of this material world, which manifest in the form of kama, krodha, lobha, maha, moha, mada, mascharya, lust, greed, anger, pride, envy, illusion. So these are the form in which any object in this material world, they attack us. Like, for example, if I see a house or a bungalow or a nice mansion, I feel an attachment, and based on that attachment, I want to acquire it, and then when I don't, then there is anger, and from anger there is, you know, illusion, and finally I become envious of those who have mansion but I don't have. Just like Dhritarashtra always thought that he has been wronged, although Pandu left very young and the kingdom was his, but still he thought, why I was not made the emperor from the very beginning. So like that. So this material world, when I see things, an object in relation to me and I, then ignorance cover me in the form of lust, greed, anger, illusion, envy, and pride. And then we can also, in a but this is the normal status, whether you are in mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. But in mode of goodness, you simultaneously can experience that of divinity, the avasa, the shadow of divinity. And hence we start asking question. Okay, and we ask, is there a life after death? And this particular verse says, yes, Puranjana, when he left, and he will become old man because he was attached to his wife. It's in the allegory. In fact, as I told you, you know, a big person doesn't tell, one doesn't preach to a big person finding his fault, because a big person would have such a big ego that if you start finding fault with him, he would not listen. So that is why Naraji spoke the allegory. And in this allegory, very allegory, he says that when Puranjana left the body, was taken, snatched away from this body, then because he performed many sacrifices, he killed many innocent animals. And those animals actually tortured him in his subtle body. So this answer is, this is there. It's pointing out to Prachana Varisha, dear friend, you have killed many innocent animals in the name of sacrifice just to get some material glory. And these animals are actually waiting to take revenge, to feast upon your dead body and so forth. And this is the stark naked truth that this body doesn't matter. I'm a sheeper, I'm a bird, I'm an animal, or I'm a human being, I'm a king, I'm Brahmana, I'm whatever, doesn't matter. This body will be ultimately will be eaten by jackals, dogs, or worms, or if you burn it, it will be burned into ashes. It all depends how this body is used at the after the soul lives. And that is a stark reality, or this is the very cruel truth. But as far as soul is concerned, soul is always pure. And the body is given to us so that we see everything in relation to Krishna. We don't see anything in relation to body or me or I. So there is no identification. So to identify any object of this world in terms of I and mine is the greatest mistake that we do. So Srila Prabhupada, recently somebody was asking me a question that what is the process of enlightenment, right? That means how do I liberate myself? So obviously, the best way to be liberated is general common sense says that we should withdraw ourselves from the material body, material consciousness, subtle body and, you know, consciousness, there is no distinction. The bodily consciousness that we talk about and the subtle body, there is no distinction actually. They are all the same. And so obviously it appears that now you have to isolate or seclude or insulate yourself from both subtle body and gross body, and then be situated in self to see the self. But then this is a very tough approach, and jnanis and yogis, they take this approach, whereas our acharyas, they gave us a very simple approach, that even if I am residing within this body, both subtle and gross body, by engaging everything in Krishna's service, by Krishnizing the body, by Krishnizing all the objects around me, I can easily get the grace of Krishna. And hence Krishna consciousness is so sublime that I can see myself, you know, by grace of Krishna. Why? Prabhupada says that he is situated in the super soul. In fact, it is there in the next purport. He is situated in the super soul. So as a super soul, Krishna personally guides me. And he can reveal himself also to me. So I don't have to go through the tribulations of very high degree of austerity. We perform austerity, getting up early morning, fasting, today is Ekadasi, and so forth. We do that, but our austerity, anybody can do. Anybody can do. Okay, and from any country, doesn't matter. And it's not necessary somebody has to take birth in a Brahmin family to be able to practice. No. So I was thinking that this particular verse, I was trying to correlate this verse with the something about Krishna Lila, because Janmashtami we just celebrated, and I thought that how we can talk something about Krishna related to this verse. So then I realized the city, you know, Prabhupada says that when the inhabitants there leave the city is destroyed. And all of you know that Dwaraka is a city which was built by Krishna. And when Krishna left, the city was destroyed. Okay. So that is just like the soul leaves the body and the body is burned to ashes, or body is eaten by jackals and dogs and worms. Similarly, when inhabitants, they flee the city is also destroyed. Okay. So I just want to take you the historical perspective of Dwaraka and until how Dwaraka was destroyed. And that also will take us a kind of a sojourn of how the soul makes a journey in this material world from imperfection to perfection. So let me tell you that Dwaraka was not there when Krishna went to Mathura on the invitation of Kamsa for a wrestling match, and Akrura was specifically was sent to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. In fact, this whole thing was hatched by Narada. Narada went and told Kamsa, why are you so inactive? Just go, bring them. They are your enemy. So devotees like Narada, they wanted Krishna to come and kill Kamsa. Of course, Kamsa was killed. I don't have to tell this entire Mathura. Vijay itself is a very wonderful pastime. If we tell that, you know, then I cannot talk about Dwaraka. So all of you know that Krishna would come, kill the Kamsa, will make Ugrasena the king of Mathura, and then he would go to Avanti under Sandipani Muni. He would get the education, and then we know that how he every day he will master one art and 64 arts, 64 days. Besides that, he studied the military science, the Vedas, the Itihasas, everything he studied, and then he comes back, and in the meantime, Kamsa's two wives, they were daughters of Jarasandha, they went and complained to their father, "Oh father, please do something. How can you eat very blissfully when your enemy killed our dear husband? He was so innocent. He was sitting in the stadium and watching the wrestling match, and the cruel Krishna came and knocked him out. Please do something. So Jarasandha prepared, and with 23 Akshavani, I think one Akshavani is around 2.5 lakh soldiers. There are some horses, some elephants, there is some count, some land soldiers, and everything would make one Akshavani. Either 60,000 or 2.5 lakh, I don't know. So 23 Akshavani, it's a huge, huge contingent of army. He made ready and started for Mathura. So when Krishna realized that Jarasandha is coming, then he called his brother to the main gate, because he didn't want, earlier all cities used to have a main gate. Now each city has a big fort. So the enemy can only attack through the main gate. So Krishna came through the came out of the main gate, and then he was thinking how not to give any disturbance or any problem to his devotees. So this is the nature Krishna is teaching, how to maintain, how to sustain Krishna. No, that is why it is Rama Rajya, because only Lord Ram or Lord Krishna know how to maintain the praja. So Krishna came out, and as he was meditating along with Balaram, he came out, and as he was meditating on how to tackle Jarasandha. Of course, Krishna, you know, sometimes it is really bewildering. Why it is bewildering? The same Krishna who, by his simple will, parasa sakti vividaiva srete, he just manifests trillions of universes. And here, an ordinary Jarasandha, how big he may be, he is ordinary in terms in front of Krishna. But anyway, Krishna is meditating how to tackle Jarasandha so that his people, his devotees are not put into difficulty. And as he is meditating, immediately there are two Vimana, they came from Vaikuntha. And these Vimanas are his and Balaram's personal Vimanas. And along with this Vimana came all his divine weapons. And then Krishna said, Balaram, brother, you have a responsibility to protect your inhabitants, your citizens. And then these two will destroy. And very few soldiers would accompany Krishna and Balaram. And literally everyone except Jarasandha would be destroyed, including horses, elephants. It's like a river of blood would flow there. It's 23 Akshavani. It's a huge contingent of army. And finally, Balaram would arrest Jarasandha. And Krishna would tell brother Balaram that release him. Because internally Krishna is meditating that this Jarasandha would come again and again. Because Krishna is all cognizant. He knows everybody's mind. So, he will come. He will bring more. So then, I have come with a purpose to remove the burden of the earth. That Krishna comes for three purposes. The external purpose of Krishna's incarnation is that he wants to protect his devotees. He wants to punish the miscreants or the demons. And third is to establish religious principle. So this is the three external purposes for which Krishna comes. So if you look at so Krishna is telling Balaram that this fellow will bring more and more and more, and we will destroy them. And by that, we will reduce the burden of the earth. So, Jarasandha would depart for Magadha, his capital. But then he was feeling very depressed because he has been released by the enemy. Enemies didn't kill him. and it's a great humiliation for him. So he was about to commit suicide, but then other kings who are his friends, they came and they persuaded him. They said that time is not with you. So you have to wait for the time. You must know that this is not your time. That is why you are not victorious. But time will come and you will defeat Krishna and Balaram. And then he goes to Magadha. And then again he comes second time, third time, fourth time. Like that 17 times he comes. And 17 times he is defeated in the similar way. And is packed home. Right? And that time, after 17 times he was defeated, he started his 18th time trip. And that is the time there was another fellow called Kala Yavana. This Kala Yavana came with many Yavanas, Yavana soldiers. And one direction of the Mathura city, they are starting from somewhere, and another direction, because there are spies, you know, the king's spy, they come and they know from which direction which enemy is coming. So Krishna and Balaram, they realized that from two sides the enemies are coming. And this time Krishna was thinking to himself, wow, this is very, very tough situation. And sometime I was thinking that what could be tough situation for him when in Brahma, Vimohan, Leela, he himself manifested into as many cowherd boys and cowherd calves, and then in front of Brahma he manifested all of them in the form of 400 Narayana, and each Narayana is capable of, you know, destroying trillions of such Jarasandhas as well as Kala Yavana. But then in Leela, Krishna is thinking because Krishna is so Bhakta Vatsala, he doesn't want his devotees to be anyway inconvenienced. And hence, so this should be our meditation. Our meditation should be always dependence on Krishna. If we are dependent on Krishna, Krishna will surely take care of us. Yatha mam prapadyante tam sathaiva vajamyam. So you see that when from two sides enemies are coming, and imagine now from Magadha to Mathura. So Magadha is now Patna and to Mathura. So even if you imagine 3 days or 4 days, the enemy will reach, right? Maximum 3-4 days. And I don't know Kala Yavana from where he came. It said he came from south because Kala Yavana was actually the son of Garga Muni's son, who was cheated by the Yadavas, and hence out of anger he has given birth to a demon, Kala Yavana. So since Kala Yavana, he didn't want to fight with any human being, so he asked Narada, who is fit to fight? And then Narada says, only one person you can fight or is fit to fight with you is Krishna. So that is how he came to attack Mathura. And so two directions, maybe 4 days or 5 days I have noticed. That's all Krishna has, imagine. And within that time, just that much of time, you know, let me tell you with all fairness, it is not more than 5 days. Because I was reading Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's comment where he was telling maybe 2 days, 3 days, the enemy would reach. That is how Krishna's meditation. So maximum 3-4 days or 5 days, or take it even 7 days out of exact, you know, if you exaggerate that number, 3, you make it 7. Certainly it will not be more than 7. And in that 7 days, Krishna meditates his next lila from Mathura to Dwaraka. And in Dwaraka, he makes a city. Okay. And this Dwaraka has a radius of 12 yojana. Yeah, 12 yojana. One yojana is 8 mile. So 12 means 96 mile radius city. Just imagine. 96 mile radius city. I don't think any city will have 96 mile radius. Eh? I don't think so. 96-mile radius. It's a very, it is a very huge city. And I want to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, my dear friends. After the discussing the matter with Balaram, the Supreme Personality Godhead had a fortress, 12 yojanas in circumferences built within the sea. Inside that fort, he had a city built containing all kinds of wonderful things. And this has been built in just seven days. It is just 3 days. Okay. And in the construction of that city could be seen the full scientific knowledge and architectural skill of Vishwakarma. There were wide avenues, commercial roads and courtyards laid out on ample plots of land. There were splendid parks and also gardens stocked with trees and creepers from heavenly planets. The gateway towers were topped with golden turrets touching the sky, and their upper levels were fashioned of crystal quartz. The gold-covered houses were adorned in front with golden pots, and on the top with jeweled roofs, and their floors were inlaid with precious emeralds. At best we do nowadays temples with marbles, right? At best we can say Italian marbles, right? That's all we can do. But here, the floors were made of emeralds. Besides, the houses stood treasury buildings, warehouses, and stables for fine horses, all built of silver and brass. Each residence had a watchtower and also a temple for its household deity. That means every household must have a temple in their house. Filled with citizens of all four social orders, the city was specially beautified by the palaces of Sri Krishna, the Lord of the Yadus. Lord Indra brought Sri Krishna the Sudharma assembly hall, standing within which a mortal man is not subject to the laws of mortality. Laws of mortality means you feel thirst, you feel anger, nothing would, all these urges would not be there, okay, when you are in Sudharma hall. So you can imagine. And not only that, there was a Parijata tree brought from the Nandana Kanana within Amaravati. Lord Varuna offered, I mean, there were horses, they can travel at the speed of mind. And some of which were pure dark blue, others white. The treasurer of the demigods, Kubera, gave his 8 mystic treasures. You know that all the opulences Kubera has, right? Heavenly opulences, and gave his 8 mystic treasures, and the rulers of various planets each presented their own opulences. The Supreme Lord, having come to the earth, O King, these demigods now offered him whatever powers of control he had previously delegated to them for the exercise of their particular authority. So these demigods are enjoying the authority delegated to them by Krishna. And now they wanted to reciprocate that indebtedness of gratitude. So this is the beauty. The demigods. Demigods, they always think of Krishna in difficult situation. But demons, they always depend on their power, on their valor. After transporting all his subjects to new city by the power of his mystic Yogamaya, Lord Krishna consulted with the Lord Balaram, who had remained in Mathura to protect it. Then wearing a garland of lotuses, but wearing no weapons, Lord Krishna went out of Mathura by its main gate. The dear devotees say, just 3 days, Krishna built a city that has a radius of 96 miles. It's unthinkable. Where you can build? Now, to build a temple, now we are building TOBP, a temple of Vedic planetarium. It is being built since Prabhupada left. In fact, the plan was there when Prabhupada was here, and it is now more than 50 years and still it is not completed. We are hoping that by 2021 or 22, the temple will open. Imagine. And this is just 3 days Krishna built this city. So, is it very wonderful? In one sense, it's wonderful for devotees because then we have something to speak about how Krishna manifested a city in 3 days. Just like, I'll give you one example. When Krishna blew his conch shell, when Jarasandha was about to attack his city, all these soldiers of Jarasandha, they felt in their heart as if thunderbolt has struck them. Imagine when we hear the conch shell blowing in our temple, we feel an enthusiasm, we feel happiness, we feel a kind of sense of purity we feel when the conch shell blows in the temple. But the same conch shell when Krishna blew, devotees feel very happy. But same conch shell is behaving like a demon, like a thunderbolt for the demons. So parasya saktir vividhaiva srute svabhiti jnana cha bala kriyam. This is what is Krishna's internal potential. How Krishna can just manifest in 3 days a city, and it didn't take also for Krishna more time when he has to, how much time I have? 42. So I can go on another 10, 12 minutes. So let me cover the entire thing. Before I go, how Dwaraka was destroyed, just to let you know that Krishna, when he shifted, so what you saw here, that the morning before Kala Yavana and his soldiers surrounded his city, before that morning, in the midnight, when everybody is sleeping, okay, that means within the city of Mathura, there are cows, there are horses, there are inmates, his father, mother, his relatives, his friends, everybody, they're sleeping, and they were transported by Yogamaya. They were transported to Dwaraka city. So when early morning they're getting up, they are seeing instead of their old house, a new house made up of lapis lazuli, Vaidurya mala, Vaidurya mani, and they were completely, wonderfully, pleasantly surprised, where they are. And this is Krishna. If you are a devotee of Krishna, nothing you should desire. Only thing we should desire that we should become devotee of Krishna. So you see that when Krishna finally killed Kala Yavana, and he didn't kill, Kala Yavana was finally killed by the Muchukunda's eye light, because Muchukunda was sleeping in the cave of Badrinath, because he was fighting with the demigods for a long time, and there the demigods, when they were pleased, they gave a benediction to Muchukunda. Muchukunda said, "I'm so tired, I want to sleep. You see that, for me to sleep for 6 hours is a very tough time. I don't get sleep nowadays. I have a big problem, And here, to get a sleep for months and years, you need benediction. And demigods benedicted him for sleeping. And Krishna guided this Kala Yavana to that cave. And Kala Yavana kicked Muchukunda, thinking he is Krishna. And when Muchukunda's eyes opened, in that eye had so much of fire, Muchukunda, Kala Yavana was burnt into ashes then and there. Okay. And then Krishna would come back to Mathura, because by that time Krishna had told Balaram that you stay here. I will tackle this Kalayavana and will come back. Right. So, and then Jarasandha came that time. And that time in Mathura, nobody was there. Can you imagine? There was nobody in Mathura. Not a bird was also available that time. Everybody has been transported to Dwarka. So finally, anyway, from 18th time when Jarasandha came, Krishna had nothing to do, nothing to lose, right? So he fled. And Jarasandha thought, oh, I am a victorious. And Krishna has left. Anyway, Krishna and Balaram finally will reach Dwarka. And in Dwarka, as soon as he reaches Dwarka, he is received by a Brahmana comes. And this Brahmana is a messenger of Rukmini. Yesterday we were reading in Chaitanya Bhagavata that there is a Banamali who was a matchmaker who made Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lakshmi Priya to get married. Same Banamali was actually that Brahmana in Krishna Lila. Also in Ram Lila, the Banamali was Vishwamitra. So this Brahmana came with a love letter. This is the famous love letter. I am not going to talk to you about love letter. Rukmini's love letter to Krishna. Very fascinating love letter. Okay. So, yeah, we don't like to, we as a devotee, we are not supposed to read love letter, right? But I would request everyone to read this love letter of Rukmini for Krishna. And so immediately Krishna calls for Dwarka and says, let's go to Vidarbha. And in Vidarbha, he reaches. And that time, Balaram came to know that Krishna has gone alone, without anyone. And there, his enemies have gathered. Because Rukmi has arranged the marriage of Rukmini with Sisupala. So the Krishna's enemies like Pondraka, Dantavakra, Viduratha, Damavarsa, King Abutkala, literally Jarasandha, all these people have gathered there, and Balaram thought, this is not a very good situation for Krishna to be alone. Somebody should go and protect him. Can you imagine Balaram can think that he has to protect Krishna? Although Balaram knows Krishna is the absolute truth, there is no ignorance. But the love is so much, so intense, that love makes them forget that Krishna is God. And just like, I always meditate. I have in my house Lakshmi Narasimha deity. Although we cook every day, we cook in the morning, we cook in the lunch, we make some offering in the evening also. But we never feel that, Lakshmi Narasimha is actually feeling hungry. I don't think that I have got to that level where I can feel that they are feeling hungry. No. Or, they liked the food that we prepared, or they didn't like the food that we prepared. I don't think that that kind of reciprocation that I have with the deity that I'm worshipping since 2005. But here, Balaram had that attraction, that intense love for Krishna. And then he took all the army from Dwarka and rushed to Vidarbha. Right. So there Rukmini is waiting for Brahmana to come back, and she is feeling internally, what will happen? Probably Krishna didn't think me, I am suitable to be his wife. I'm lowest of low. I'm not qualified. So like that, Rukmini is becoming more and more disheartened. And suddenly the Brahmana appeared. His face is effulgent. He's full of smile. And then Rukmini realized the work has been done. And then when Brahmana said, "My dear mother, your Lord is already here." So Rukmini is feeling so grateful, She wanted to give something to this Brahmana. But the gratefulness is so immense, she could not think that she can give some riches that is really valuable enough to pay back the indebtedness that she is feeling today. Just think about it. Rukmini wanted to give something to this Brahmana, but she is not able to give because she is thinking this Brahmana, whatever she has done for her, is so invaluable. There is no wealth, no riches that she can think of that can actually equal that the favor that Brahmana has done. And not surprisingly, but from a devotee's perspective, it is so astounding that in the Brahmana's house, the house is getting filled with all kind of wealth. All kind of wealth. Okay. So this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, dear devotees. The only thing we don't have is love for Krishna. We don't feel love for Krishna. And that is our disease. Just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Haridas Thakur that please reduce your chanting, you have become so old. You are also remaining sick and so forth. So Haridas Thakur said, I have no sickness. My only sickness is that I have no taste for chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So dear devotees, we have only one love. We have no love for Krishna. We have no love for Krishna. And although we don't have love for Krishna, we don't cry that we don't have love for Krishna. Our heart is very stone-like. And we need to pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically Sri Nityananda Prabhu, to have some mercy upon us. They should engage us in some service by which we can attain some mercy. And we can feel this kind of love that the devotees of Krishna are manifesting. So anyway, my objective was to tell you how Dwaraka was destroyed. So you see, this is a beautiful Dwaraka, right? Then you know that after that, Krishna would marry 8 principal queens, right? And among some of them are like Rukmini. Of course, you kidnap Rukmini and marry her. She is the first queen, Satyavama, Jambavati, Mitravinda. So like that, there are 8 principal queens. And then there are 16,100 princes. They were all imprisoned or kidnapped by Narakasura. In the present India, Assam is the descendant of Naraka. Descendant of Naraka. Naraka is the son of Krishna and Bhudevi. And the entire Assam population, most of them, are the descendants of Naraka. So Krishna married all of them. And he built again 16,108 palaces for each one of them. And marriage took place in all the palaces simultaneously. And you see his mystical opulence, inconceivable mystical opulences, that in every palace, his parents, his friends, everyone present, simultaneously. This is Krishna's mystical potential. Somebody asked, do Vasudeva and Devaki, they experience simultaneously that they are in simultaneous palaces? So my answer is that I don't know. So, dear devotees, this is absolutely inconceivable. The Leela of Krishna tells us who is God. And a God is not anybody who does a little miracle and becomes God. Krishna lived like a God. Now, he is God. So, and then we know that how Krishna, befriended with Pandavas because they are his eternal associate. And then, you know, the ultimately the arrangement happened for Mahabharata. Krishna in the meantime started killing one by one Paundraka, Kasi Raja, then Jarasandha, you know, and then Salwa. So all these people were killed. And you know that once Krishna left Vrindavan at the age of 11.6. So you must know that Krishna doesn't have age. Krishna doesn't have age. He's eternal. He's eternal. In Leela, we say he's 11.6, 89 or 125. But Krishna is not. You know, I don't know whether I have narrated this story to all of you. Once one German professor visited India in a conference. I took him to our ISKCON temple. And he saw these beautiful paintings of Krishna. I told he's God. Right? And after the darshan, I made him to drink charanamrita and took him to prasadam. While taking prasadam, he told me that your God is a lady, woman. I was a little shocked. For the first time, somebody told me like that. And I said, how did you know that? I showed you Krishna and the painting. No, he looks like a woman. So then I laughed at myself and said, yes, you are right. Krishna is not a woman because he looks like a woman, but he's not a woman because he never grows beyond 60. And I told him that when we were in school, whenever any drama related to Krishna used to be organized by our school, our teacher will select a girl to become Krishna. Right? So then he realized what is meaning of Krishna. So Krishna, whether he is 125 year old or trillions of years old or infinite years of old, he is always Navayovan. And so when Krishna didn't go to Vrindavan, although he promised everyone that he is going to come back, but never. That is because he was never allowed by Devaki and Vasudeva to go to Mathura, Vrindavan, because they knew that if Krishna goes there, he would never return back. And they didn't have confidence in their love for Krishna, because they knew the love that Nanda Baba and Yashoda used to have. Because they have seen, even in the dream, within the Mathura palace, in Dwaraka palace, Krishna would be remembering all the Brajvasis. So suddenly in the dream, you know, Krishna would be uttering the names of Yashodamayi, Nanda Baba, or, you know, Radha, or, you know, all his close friends, Sridama, Subala, Madhumangala. So from time to time, so they know Krishna is missing them very much. So they never allowed. So when Salwa attacked Dwaraka, that time Krishna went. Krishna, of course, defeated Salwa, but Salwa caused a lot of disturbance to the Dwaraka city. Many parts of Dwaraka were also destroyed and devastated. So when Dantabhadra and Vidurata, they declared war against Krishna, then Krishna went to Vasudeva and said, my dear father, give me permission. We cannot again allow another demon to come and attack us. Allow me, I will go and finish Dattabhakra Vidurata in Mathura itself. And then I will come back. And that would not cause any damage to our Dwaraka Vasis. So Vasudev Devaki. And that time Krishna is around 89 years old. Mahabharata battle is about to start. So, and that time Krishna went to Mathura and killed Dattabhakra and Vidurata. So if you go from Mathura to Bharatpur, there is a village called Dantai, just in the border of Mathura. So that is the place where Dantabhadra was killed. And so there, after he killed there, so this is Mathura, so Krishna took that opportunity to go to Vrindavan. And that is the time when Krishna was approximately 89. So 11 and a half, he was in Vrindavan. From 11 and a half to around 32, I would say, because you can add their 17 years, 18 years to that, and then he went to study in Avanti, So like that, if you add, so this is because every year Jarasandha came. So 18 times means 18 years. So 18 plus 12, 30. And then you add two more years for studying in Sandhya Parimani. So that becomes 32 years. So when Krishna was there in Mathura up to 32. So now 32 to 89. Okay. So if you look at from 11 and a half to 89. So this is almost like 77 years. 77 years Vrindavan Vasis are without Krishna. In fact, we recently learnt from Chaitanya Bhagavata that the feeling of separation is a mercy on those devotees. Because this, if you have feeling of separation from Krishna, that feeling of separation nourishes a devotee completely. So this is a very high level of understanding. That feeling of separation nourishes us completely. And just like Sudharma Hall nourishes you from thirst, from hunger, from anger, from all those kind of six urges that we have, it nourishes us similarly. So Krishna went after 77 long years. And when Brajvasi saw Krishna, Krishna, although 89, he's looking exactly same. Same 16-year-old and same charming smile, same peacock feather, bedecked with peacock feather. And everybody was so enlivened. Everybody felt as if the life has come back to them. Nanda Baba, Yashoda Mai, Radharani, Gopis, Gopas, the cows, the calves, the peacocks, the gears, the everyone, they came back to life. And after some time, Krishna told Nanda Baba that, Baba, I have very important job to do. Because in Hastinapur, things are because the exile of Pandavas has been over. And they are sending information to Dhritarashtra that please give us, hand over our kingdom to us. That we don't want. We want to be in peace. And Krishna has a big role to play there. So he told Nanda Baba that I have a very big role to play. So please allow me. So then Nanda Baba will catch hold of Krishna. Said Krishna, 77 years we are being tortured. Our life is impossible. And we are living like that. Why did you come? Why did you come for a few days? It is impossible for us to be without you. And Krishna realized, now, this is too much. So he called all the spiritual vimanas from Goloka. And they are not one, two, three. There are thousands. And he placed all the devotees, all the calves, all the cows, everyone there, and took them back to Goloka, left them there, and again in the sky way he reached God. Okay, and then you know that finally Krishna got entangled with the Mahabharata. Mahabharata, 17 and a half days, it was over. Then Yudhishthira Maharaj was enthroned as an emperor of the world. Yudhishthira Maharaj had no interest to rule the world because after he saw the mayhem, it's like, you know, catastrophe. 640 million soldiers are dead. And he has no interest, iota of interest to rule the kingdom. And just for the pleasure of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna stayed back for 36 years. During this time, only one very important pastime took place of Krishna is that Krishna went to Janakapuri. Why? Because during the Mahabharata, Balaram was not present. Balaram went to Janakapuri and met the king of Janaka and King Janaka there, and Janaka invited Krishna through Balaram. So after Mahabharata over, then Krishna went to Janakpuri, and there is a very good chapter how king and a brahmana, they simultaneously will greet Krishna, and Krishna's party will become two, but same party, they will become double and will meet and will accept the invitation of the two. That's a very... Anyway, so 56 years, so 89 plus 36, that is 125. So when Krishna was 125, it is time for him to wind up his pastime. And that is when Krishna planned the complete annihilation of his dynasty. Everyone was killed in Pravasa Kshetra, and as soon as it was killed, they were killed. Krishna destroyed his city as well. Okay. So, no time. The city that was there for 125 minus 32. How many? 93 years. A 93-year-old wonderful city. And there is some Bilal, Professor Bilal, an archaeologist, very popular archaeologist, famous archaeologist, who excavated Dwarka and also Ram Janmabhoomi. So there is a good documentary, Indian Archaeological Survey, about Dwarka city that is submerged in the ocean. But you see, it didn't take Krishna to annihilate his entire clan. You know, his clan was so big, it was in Krov. His own family extended to Kros. Okay. All of them were killed. And the city was destroyed. This is Krishna. So if we were to be Krishna conscious, we have to show complete detachment. If we are getting anything in service to Krishna, let us use it in Krishna's service. But we should always remain detached from everything within this material world. Neither any opulence of this world. Recently last Janmashtami, we got some 125 acres of land, 1500 acres of land in the name of Krishna. I have been trying for it for the last 5 years. This land is full of beauty. It has hill, it has forest, it has big trees, it has stream, all beauty. But we have got it just to establish some kind of, project glorifying Krishna. But even I introspect deeply, I don't know whether this project will manifest or not in my lifetime. I may live tomorrow or not. Who knows? So ultimately our attraction has to be for the lotus feet of Krishna. And that is Krishna consciousness. And then only we will get full mercy of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for wonderful class, Prabhu. It was really nectarian. Thank you, Prabhuji. If anybody have any questions or realizations, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much for such beautiful pastimes. Prabhu, I had only one question about the dating. The dating of Krishna's events. So when we were talking about Krishna leaving Sandipani Muni's ashram and moving to Dwarka, I mean, how is it that we calculated as 32 was my question, because we also see that Krishna learned in Sandipani Muni's ashram all the 64 arts and 64 days, and then he also gets married to Rukmini at a very young age, around 16 or so. So can you please throw more light on that, Prabhu? Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay. So now Krishna didn't marry Rukmini at the age of 16. You see that in Mathura, Krishna went to Mathura at the age of 11 and a half. At that age, you know, he killed Kamsa. And then there was Upanayana Samskara, and then he was sent to Sandipani Muni. So I'm assuming that it is around 2 years, so 12 plus 2 is 14. And then you can, you know, somebody told me probably 16. I mean, I had some evidence I don't have now, but I can give you a little brief here. That Jarasandha attacked city of Mathura 18 times, once in 1 year. So that itself is 18 years. So Krishna lived in Mathura, okay, until Jarasandha attacked 18th time. So 18 plus 14, that is minimum. So that becomes 32. It can be also more than 32. Okay. So that is how I'm telling you. So it is for sure 32. It can be 34. But it will not be more than 34 in Mathura.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, it's not exactly a question, but I was wondering, like you say, that Assam is like the Narakasur descendant, right? You said?
Yeah.
So I wonder, like in Assam, the people, they mainly worship Ram and Govinda. They usually, their songs, they will have Ram and Govinda in there. I was just wondering, like, you know, coming from that descendant, how they get turned into devotees of Krishna. And I was just...
Yeah, because you see that Naraka is the son of Varaha and Bhudevi. Okay. So Vishnu Avatara. And plus, Banasura connection is there. Banasura is from Tezpur, which is in Asana. So Banasura's daughter Usa married to Aniruddha. You know that Usa's friend Chitraleka kidnapped Aniruddha from his sleep and then brought him to Tezpur. So Prag Jyotishapura is what in Puranas Assam is referred to. Prag Jyotishapura. So recently I was seeing there was a group called. Group called Bodo.
Yes, Prabhu, yes.
And then I saw the history of Bodo. The story of Bodos are that they are the descendant of Vishnu and Bhudevi. Okay. So you can put all this together. And, when I visited Guwahati, long back, I had visited Kamakhya temple and then the story of Kamakhya, and then also I realized that how the Vishnu descendants are there. I'm not a historian to tell
yeah,
it. I have to do a lot of.
Yeah, you told enough, Prabhu. No, I was just thinking, like, you know, descendant of Asura is supposed to be, they should be worshipping not Vishnu and somebody else. But yes, that makes sense because he was a son of Krishna. So, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Oh, that was your question. Okay.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Naraka was blessed later, you know. Bhudevi told after he was killed, Naraka was blessed. His son was called as the king. Of Prag Jyotishapura. You see the story that where Krishna will go with Satyabhama and there Bhudevi would make Krishna to finally bless. And so Naraka's son would become obviously become the devotee of Krishna. So, yeah, and there is a big Vaishnava sect in Assam.
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. So where was exactly Narakasura killed? He was killed in Assam?
Yeah, Guwahati.
Guwahati was okay. Okay. Thank you so much. And where can we read about it, Prabhuji, if you wish to?
Guwahati. It is in Guwahati only, this Kamakhya temple where it is there. In Kamakhya temple, that hill the Kamakha Devi was residing. And that is where, you see, Naraka was not Narakasura. Naraka was the son of Vishnu and Bhudevi. But Naraka became friend of Banasura. And Banasura is a demon. So by associating with Banasura, Naraka will develop demoniac qualities. And that is how, and it is Banasura only who instigate Naraka that you go and propose Kamakhya Devi. So that is how Narakasura's end will happen, because he will ultimately will be annihilated.
So where can we read about all this, Prabhuji?
You see that how I get is that whenever I go to any Tirthas, I try to collect some history from their books and here and there. Oh. And I read whenever I am there, whatever there in my memory, I speak. But I am not compiled.
Okay. Because all I heard about Kamakhya since childhood is that Kamakhya Devi, it was one of the part of the, it is dham because it is one of the part of Parvati, is one of the part, and that is worship.
That hill was inhabited by the Kamakhya Devi. She was very young and that's how Naraka, and that's another history. When I visited Kamakhya, I made some history and I spoke here, coming to IIT Kanpur, I spoke, maybe there are some lectures recorded on that, probably you can say.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Prabhuji, sir, for the information. Thank you, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Prinath.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Prabhu, I'm speaking from India, Gurgaon.
Oh. Please.
I have a question. We all know about the Krishna's mystic power.
Right.
But what about the other rulers who ruled for thousands and thousands of years, like Dhruva Maharaj? And what was their their childhood, their youth, their old age, how long was that?
Oh, so it all depends in which age they lived, you know. It is said that in Satya Yuga, people lived in 1 lakh years. Because the surrounding was completely made up of mode of goodness, so you could live for a long time. And in Kali Yuga, the surrounding is mostly that of mode of ignorance. That is why you live 100 years. And 10,000 years, and then 1,000 years in Dwaraka. So Dhruva Maharaj is the pastime is in Satya Yuga. So that is how it is, you know. So it all depends in which age you are born. And you see that the atmosphere, as we saw today, this body consists of three elements: mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. So in mode of goodness sustains us. Mode of ignorance destroys us. And the mode of ignorance is predominant these days. And that is why we age very fast. Nowadays, though, I see my students, PhD students, they have gray hair. My PhD students. Okay, I am 54 years old, so I have gray hair. But my students, they have gray hair. Yeah. So I can't imagine how the Kali Yuga influences you can feel that influence. Is that your question or something else you wanted to
Prabhu, ask? Prabhu, whatever you may say, one cannot imagine a child of 5,000 year old.
No. See, there are, okay. You see, One is experiential time, the other is a kind of relative absolute time. Okay? So, every time we experience, we are only 100 year old. Okay? So, childhood, Brahma experience 100 year. Although, Brahma's time, we look at 311 trillion 40 billion years, but Brahma is not experiencing that. Brahma is experiencing 100 year old. So, similarly, everyone in whichever age they are, they only experience 100 years. Okay? Like Bharat Maharaj, at the age of 40, when he was 40, yeah, but if you look at his duration from our perspective, probably it's a very longer period. At the age of 40, he left the kingdom. And so these are, one is experiential time, that is never more than 100. And then the other is that the third person perspective. And that is a longer period. And that is how we see Satyuga, 1 lakh, and Dwapara, 10,000, and Kali, 100. And actually, Dwapara, 1,000, and Kali, 100.
No, Prabhu, I have not understood 100-year concept.
You see that time has two aspects. Time has two aspects. One is time, as Krishna time, he unfolds events. Right? Nobody knew this pandemic, COVID, will cripple the entire world. Okay? Not only cripple the entire world, pandemic proved that the so-called science and technology are good for nothing. And also pandemic has proved what Prabhupada said, that we should have, we should more depend on land and cows than so-called cities. So this is called time that unfolds events, right? Like Dwaraka was manifested and Dwaraka became unmanifest. This is, time is unfolding. Like time, at some point of time, makes you to get connected to devotees, and then you become a devotee, you start practicing. This is called unfolding of events. And that is the time potency of Krishna is doing it. Time potency carries the Krishna's desire and unfolds events. The other is experiential time. That means I experience. Right? So when you are a yogi, you don't experience more than you are 16. Okay? But if you are a body conscious, then you will experience according to your body. And suppose you are in mode of ignorance, you will experience, even if you are 30 year old, you may be experiencing, you are like 100 year old. So these are all experiential time. And the other time that I am talking, that is the time, if you have studied physics or science, you see there is a scale in time. Okay, and then you put a curve. So that time is a scalar time, it has a unitless time. So that is the time we measure, 1 lakh year, 10,000 year, 1,000 year, or 100 years.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so very much for a wonderful, wonderful class. It was really touching when you spoke about Krishna coming back and taking everyone in Vrindavan to Goloka. That was just so beautiful. So thank you for sharing that. And I just have one question. Something you said at the beginning of class, I wasn't sure if I heard it correctly, that the subtle body is also Atma. Is that what you said?
Can you again say, repeat last sentence, Mataji?
Oh, I'm sorry. That the subtle body is also Atma. Is that Atma? Do we consider subtle body Atma?
I said Atma means the body.
Mm-hmm.
The gross body. Mm-hmm. And Atma also refers to the subtle body.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Subtle body. and then Atma also refers to Atma.
Okay. That's why I wasn't sure about the subtle body part. So.
Yeah. Subtle body. Atma refers to subtle body. Atma refers to gross body. Atma refers to Atma. Okay. So it all depends on the consciousness, in which consciousness. Like if I'm an animal consciousness, that I refer my Atma to the body. If I'm in little more matured human consciousness, then probably I would refer Atma to my subtle body. And only when I am searching for truth, then I would refer Atma to the actual Atma.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanot Pranam. Very beautiful class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for speaking about the Mathura pastimes and Dwarka pastimes of Krishna. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. I wanted to speak about Krishna because this was Janmashtami. So I had told Mataji, and she told me that today the class, then I said that I have to speak about Krishna because this is just we celebrated Janmashtami, some topic. So I just connected this particular verse to Krishna's.
Yeah. Because it's a mention of Kala Yavana here also. And
correct.
Yes.
Okay, then I think that we should stop here. Thank you very much for blessing me with giving the opportunity to speak on Krishna, and you are very good hearer. As you know, it is said in 10.1.4. This is the verse where Srila Prabhupada gives a very big purport, saying that how one should hear Krishna Katha, and there. Prabhupada says three categories of people that benefit when Krishna Katha takes place. One is the speaker, he gets benefited. The other is the hearer or the questioner. And the third one is the audience. So in this case, Sukadeva Goswami was the speaker, listener was Maharaj Parikit, and the audience, not only the audience that was there that time, all the great sages, but all of us, we are hearing the same Bhagavatam for last more than 5,000 years. So everybody gets benefit. So this is the beauty of Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for enlightening class today and giving us your association. We are very grateful to you, Prabhu. We look forward for your association again in future. If nobody have any question, can we end the call here? Okay, let's pay obeisances to Prabhuji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha Kalpata Rupyasha Krupa Sindhu Hevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Granthra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Please pray Srila Purushottam Prabhuji Ki Jai
Ki Jai.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.